Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Couples TV Show with Greg and Cheryl Clark. You have made a great choice. Now sit back, take notes, and expect your relationship to transform today. Now join me in welcoming your hosts, Greg and Cheryl Clark.
Well. Thank you very much for taking the opportunity and your time to share with us here on the Couples TV Show here on the Bridal Tribe Network. As usual, this is your main man, Gregory Clark Sr., welcoming you and wishing everyone, hopefully everyone had a great and extraordinary Holy Week and everything else that entails of that, regardless of what type of faith you believe in. But before I go any further, it's a pleasure of mine to introduce to some and present to others my co-host, Cheryl Clark.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us in our new time slot, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We thank you so much for joining us on the Couples TV Show.
Okay. Well, as my wife just stated, you know, it's a great opportunity now that you'll be able to, and if you wish to check in with us and be a part of the conversation, you can easily call in at 347-996-3160. Again, that is 347-996-3160. And Cheryl, can you tell them quickly how they can connect with us on Facebook?
They can go to Greg and Cheryl, Gregory and Cheryl Clark on Facebook. They can reach us there.
Anything else?
They can reach us. Yes, it's on the Facebook page, right? The Gregory and Cheryl Clark page. It's Gregory and Cheryl Clark at Facebook.com.
As you can tell, my wife is having a very good time relaxing and enjoying herself. You definitely can link up with us at our Gregory and Cheryl Clark page on Facebook. You can also connect with us on our Couples TV Show page, which is facebook.com/The Couples TV Show. Again, that is facebook.com/The Couples TV Show. And on top of that, if you're on Twitter, if you're tweeting, you're doing all that Twittering, then definitely follow us together or separately. You can follow us together on Greg Cheryl Clark. That is Greg Cheryl Clark, all one word without the E at the end. Or you can connect with my wife, Cheryl Clark, at Connected to Purpose or Connect to Purpose. Again, that's Connect, the number 2, and Purpose. And if you want to follow me, you have the ability to tweet with me directly at my handle, Big Papa Red Sama. And I know today's episode, we're going to be talking about forgiveness and resurrection, and especially for those individuals who of particular faiths, you know, just completed. Well, some are still in their Passover services, because Passover still has not been completed as of yet. But those who are of Christian faith, they've just completed their Holy Week from Palm Sunday to yesterday, which was Resurrection Sunday, or for most people, Easter Sunday. And Cheryl, do you want to share with people, you know, some of your insights, you know, as before we jump into forgiveness and resurrection?
Well, no, it's going to be a great show today. And like Greg said, we are mindful of everyone's, you know, religions and things of that nature. However, to go across the board, forgiveness is something that that everyone, no matter what religion or belief we have, is something that a lot of people struggle with. And if you have not forgiven or learned the art to forgive, it is necessary to do that in order for success to happen. In order for you to, and like we were talking about last week, even for your own health's sake, the power of forgiveness is something that works to your benefit and to mankind as a whole. And as we just dealing with the resurrection week and Passover week, we just it's a genuine thing to be able to forgive. And and as with the Christian faith, as we see, I was watching the Bible, and it had, you know, when Jesus was crucified, and how he had to forgive Judas for, you know, saying everyone has something they need to do in life, and this forgiveness is something that is something that a lot of people hold on with a lot of regret, anger towards the other person, and they don't even know, and their actions may be more so hurtful to themselves than to the other person. And then you also hurt people in the interim. So the thing is, you empower yourself when you're able to give yourself permission to forgive. Right?
Definitely. And as Cheryl just stated, that is a great segue into one of the first starts that we're going to share today. And again, if you wish to call in or just to listen in, if you're not listening on Blog Talk Radio, you have the ability to call in at 347-996-3160. And Cheryl just brought up a point about, you know, when you're resurrecting yourself and things of that nature. And I want to start with this thought. When you compete with others, you become bitter. Mm-hmm. And that keeps you down and out. But when you compete with yourself, you become better. Now, people would say, well, you're not supposed to be in competition. Yes, you're not supposed to be in competition with others. What it is that you are here to do, you are here to perfect. You're here to allow those things that may look dormant in you, for you to allow those things to flourish, to grow. Those things will not grow if you're always just looking outside of yourself. And that's where the competition with others comes into play. When you become real bitter and you're looking at your life and you're wondering why you're here or you're there and how come certain things are not manifesting themselves in you, in your particular plane, in your particular existence, it becomes a fact that maybe you have to take the opportunity to look in the mirror and see who you're actually competing with. If you're trying to stay up with the Joneses and you're trying to get this and you're trying to get that and you're trying to overtly prove that you have some level of status, that really doesn't do anything, because what happens when that particular mantra, that particular situation that you are focusing upon disappears? Then you're left with an empty situation. Now, when you take the opportunity to compete with yourself, and competing with yourself means you're completing tasks, you're keeping yourself honest, you're keeping yourself honest. So you remember that, and that is part of a resurrection. By you keeping yourself honest, and you keep yourself in a particular vein where you're seeing you moving towards that destiny. You know there are certain talents that are already bestowed upon you that you wish for others to see, or others to celebrate, or others to maybe glean from. But if you don't really continue to grow in your thoughts or grow in your situation or allow yourself the time to allow the right gestation period to occur, so as you continue to grow, certain things can be held on to, then you can't blame anyone else but yourself. You can't blame someone else for saying that, well, you know, this person kept you back, or what they said about you kept you back, or their thoughts about you kept you back. No, your thoughts about you kept you back. And that's when we say at times that never allow your inner me to become your enemy. Never allow your inner me to become your enemy. Because that's the worst enemy you can ever have. Because you can have, like, people talk about the good fight of faith and all that other stuff and all the other different words and sub-words and sub-quotes that are all over the place that people will, you know, throw at the top of the handle. But technically, they don't really mean anything if you're not really holding on to an ability that's innately given to you from when you were first formed. And sometimes we look so much outside of ourselves for proclamation, for some sort of pat on the back and things of that nature, which are good because you like everyone wants to be acknowledged. Everybody wishes to see that what they're putting out into the universe is being at least a blessing or a help to someone else other than themselves. But you have to remember, when you're in this season of resurrecting yourself, and resurrection goes along with forgiveness, when you're in these this particular season, because it's actually you're working out both situations at the same time. It's not so much you're resurrecting yourself and you're not forgiving. Or you're forgiving these, but you're not resurrecting whatever was dormant. No, they work cohesively, hand in hand, so you understand the process of where you're going is not about what those outside of you are feeling, but what is it within you that you're truly manifesting. So when you compete with yourself, it's actually a blessing because you're actually completing what it is that was innately given to you from the beginning. And that's one of the things that we need to start remembering. See, even if you look at the story of Jesus and his resurrection, he completed a task. By him completing that task, as the story states, he was resurrected. He was resurrected into his fullness, into his higher self, into his true stature. For those of you who ascribe to the story and know the story well, he attained and moved towards a higher level of through his completion. But that was also through his resurrection. And even in his resurrection, as my wife stated, he had to forgive. So when you start to look at this whole thing with forgiveness and resurrection and the whole thing that allows, you know, a certain semblance of stress and pressure to alleviate itself off of your particular walk or your particular path, you have to understand it all starts and ends with you. You must allow yourself to become better.
Mm-hmm.
And as you allow yourself to become better, the bitterness will disappear. Cheryl?
Yeah, so true what you were saying about the comparison and just comparing yourself to others. You ever notice that it doesn't matter in a race, if you're racing, it doesn't matter how many people you have cheering on the side for you, it doesn't matter. Until you get on your own side to say I'm a winner, you're not going to go past go. And you're not going to be able to win unless you are always comparing yourself to others. And you will always be on the losing side. So the point, what Greg was saying, is consider yourself a winner in the beginning and not to saying, oh, I can do it like her or I could do it like him. Because you'll always be in the point of redirecting yourself in comparison to the other. Now, when Greg was talking about looking in the comparing yourself to you or looking in the mirror, competing with yourself is one way of getting better at something. Because the result of who you are today, the decision you have made yesterday. You have to really face that. Look in the mirror. Who you are today is the result of the decisions you made yesterday. We are always creating. We are in a state of creation. We are creatures of creation. And we are designed to create. But we need to discern and we need to decide that we need to draw the line in the sand and say, I'm going to make a decision to stop comparing myself to others. And you can look at yourself from yesteryear. Start comparing yourself from yesteryear. Because if I look at myself 5 years prior to where I am now, I can really say I have grown. And that's where you need to start looking at. Look at your growth. When you look in the mirror and see if you have not grown, then that redirects you to know you need to do something about that. Start comparing yourself with yourself. I always say get a journal, and that's a good way to you know how much you have grown. Start writing down your goals and compare yourself from where you're not the same person that you were 2 days ago, a year, 2 months ago, a year ago. If you keep going back, you're not the same person. We were made to grow. Take a child, for instance. They come out as an infant. If the child does not grow, we get concerned.
Mm.
if a child does not walk at 2 years old, we are really concerned.
Mm.
So the thing is, there are milestones that we need to start having to happen for us, and if it doesn't happen, you need to now check it. And why is it that we would send a child to the doctor if the child is not walking at a certain age? So we have to know that there's baby steps, and the child is not going to get up and walk. And I take an infant because going back to infancy, because we all at one time was an infant. And as we started to grow, there's things that we do. You start on the mom's breast. Then you may go to a bottle. Then you may go to a cup, a sippy cup, and then you go and drink of a regular cup. You're not going to say, who would be a 10-year-old sitting up in the class with a baby bottle? Because there's certain things you do as a child that you will no longer do as a adolescent, and you will no longer do as a young adult, and you will no longer do as an adult. So there's steps in growth that you compare yourself with, that you can see that I'm competing with the person of yesteryear to be better. What can I do to be better than I was last year? What can I do to be better than I was yesterday?
Mm.
And that goes for all facets of your life. The decisions that you make yesterday, today, this very minute, makes up who you are. And you learn from those actions. You learn from the things that you've done. And at this time and this year, it's time for you to start winning. This is the time of year that you need to start winning. And if you're thinking about those negative things or things that you're thinking about quitting, you're thinking about doing, it is time for you to start be consistent. Because consistency owns success.
Mm.
You start to own success when you're consistent. And the one thing is that you need to start really comparing yourself with the yesteryear. Start writing down, I dare you, start writing down how you were last year and how you are this year. This time last year, where were you? Where were you? I know I was getting ready to be graduating with my master's degree. This time last year, I was getting excited because I knew I was going to be walking in about, and it was the last week of May, I believe, and I was going to be walking with my master's degree. And I know the growth that it took me to get from that point to that point. Start journaling what is it about you that you need to either change, because we should be ever so changing and evolving and creating to create the life that you so desire. And to redirect the thoughts that you need to actually have your life to be what you want it to be. And if it's to forgive someone, then that's the steps that you need to take. But how about forgiving yourself first in order for you to take the steps to have growth to happen? Greg?
Oh, my goodness. That was, well, as usual, you know, as you can see why I picked a good partner to do the show with.
As wise, as you too.
And so the information that was shared just now is this resonant, because it leads me into my next thought. Find yourself and you will have made a great discovery.
Mm.
Now you think about that.
That's good.
So many people who are existing, there are so many people who are just, see, there's a difference between exist, and I've said this before, and we told you, especially here with us here at GregandCherylClark.com and things of that nature, you know, a lot of stuff is going to be repetitive because we understand, and anything that deals with teaching or educated people or elevating those to find their higher self, you have to be repetitive. So when you think about that, and you think about all those things that need to happen, you must find yourself. You cannot find yourself in others. What you see in others are just outpicturing of yourself. If you see someone who's doing something that you feel is adversely effective, then what is it within you? that is creating the situation which is allowing this person to be in your aura. Why that person could be in your aura? Because it's nothing but you. But if you find yourself, and the reason why it's a great discovery, because there's many people, and there's too many people who just exist in this existence, and they're on this plane, and they're navigating within this particular planet, on this particular walk. They are just trudging along. They have never truly found themselves. Someone is telling them when they can eat. Someone is telling them when they can go here. Someone can tell them where they have to go there. Why? Because they have no choice. They've allowed themselves. And we all are at one point in time at that particular level until that light bulb turns on. Because, you see, as my wife broke down, you know, even as a child, we were under the auspices. She was under the auspices of her household. I was under the auspices of my household. Until that revelation comes and that actualization of wisdom that kicks in, and wisdom is just nothing but intelligence mixed with experience used properly. Once we've gotten to that tone, then she was able to migrate out of her home. I was able to eventually migrate out of my home, and eventually that migration led into our connection. And that connection has, you know, brought the fruit that has been unproven that we've done on our particular walk together in this existence. But even though I said our existence, but we're not just sitting here existing. We're actually living life. There's certain things that we enjoy. There's certain things that we'll always enjoy. My main thing is you better love yourself. If I don't love myself, I can't love my wife. And the same thing I tell every day. And it's not a selfish thing. And see, that's one of the things that when you don't allow yourself to know yourself, or you haven't been taught or haven't been exposed to letting you know, like, you know what, I love me. There's a resurrection power. And it's not even forgiveness. There's a resurrection power in that. I love me. And since I love me and I want to take care of me, I want to take care of my physical temple. I want to take care of my mental state. I want to take care of how I look appearance-wise. I want to experience things in life. I understand the little corner that I may reside in is not the end-all, be-all of this planet, of this universe. That I wish to, you know, go other places, experience new things, taste new foods, see new cultures, interact, grow, expand. And that's how wisdom grows. That's when omniscience kicks in. But if you don't allow yourself to find who you are, then you're just existing. You're not living. You're breathing. We're all sharing the same space, when you say, in particular, is when it comes to, you know, exhaling carbon dioxide, inhaling oxygen, but there are certain people who are vibrating at one particular level where they can decide at a moment's notice, you know what, it's cold over here, let's either charter a jet, get me the tickets, I'm going over here where it's warm because it's too cold in this particular area. Where you have some people who their own little, wherever that they were raised at or the environment that is around them becomes their end-all, be-all. And that's when it becomes a fact of the matter is it's almost as if you're still caught in something that's not allowing you to resurrect. Because if you think that just this real monetary or minor area is the end-all, be-all, it just shows that we need to push you towards really experiencing life. And experiencing life is sometimes maybe going to another state, going to another country. Sometimes going to another state may be sitting there figuring out how you can meditate, how you can actually allow yourself to rebuild from the infinite side and bring it into the temporal side. There's all types of opportunities, but you must always find yourself. And once you found yourself, not only is it just a great discovery, but you start to see that what it is that you were experiencing, you may have a greater taste now. You may go from, you know, like for me, I've removed soda out of my life. That was a big thing. That's something that I probably experienced since I was, before I even reached double digits of my experience. But now, that's been totally removed from my life. And it's not something to toot a horn about, but it's about me coming to myself about a resurrection. That is a resurrection. Me allowing myself to say, you know what, I'm discovering that that is something I don't need. And we all, in different aspects and different times of our life, get those epiphany moments. And it's up to you to really say, you know, am I really going to step through that door and see that, you know, stepping through that door has just made me stronger and I'm looking for the next door to step through? Or you, will you hold yourself back and say, you know what, I just need that carbonation, or I just need that this, and I just need that that, and that's, I need that. I need that to sustain. And there are times when you have opportunities to find yourself, to release those things that can almost be crutches, and you start to understand, it says, as you start removing more and more crutches, all of a sudden your back is straightening out, your mind is more clearer, your thoughts are more clearer, your body starts getting in a better shape. You have a sense about yourself, not in, through arrogance, but through confidence, that you know what you're doing. And that's one of the greatest gifts that you can ever have. And it's a resurrective power that's within all of us. As we share and as we go through these particular thoughts, everybody goes through those thoughts at different stages and at different times. But please, as Oprah would say, Oprah would call it an aha moment. I call it the epiphany. There's other mantras and there's other ways to express it. It's not only one right way. But when you get those moments, please adhere to them. That's the only thing I can definitively say that you should do. When you get those moments where it's like, boom, you know, and it may not come like a ton of bricks, but there's times that, you know, it could be a gentle nudge and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I understand. But remember, in this human experience, you still have the opportunity to make a choice, to make a thought, to say, you know what, I still want to do what I want to do. Then you will walk the particular path that you're going to walk. But there's different ways of walking. There's walking with confidence, and there's just walking in a different way. I always want to see people walk in confidence. I love watching light bulbs come on, not only in myself, but in others. Because through that, that means they're resurrecting themselves. That means they're giving them that opportunity to, even things that may have occurred in their past, which they can't change, they're forgiving themselves from those things. And by doing so, the greatest discovery you'll ever find is finding yourself. Cheryl?
Yeah, that's very true. And just to add to that tremendous thought, you know, there's billions of people on the planet, and we are all different and the same, but there's always a uniqueness in one of us. And why I say that we're all the same is that we're all a human race. However, there's a uniqueness in us that makes us different. And what I want to say about finding you, finding yourself, is so freeing, because at this, and it's a powerful thing that you can take, and knowing what makes you happy, what makes you sad, what makes you function, what is the concrete things about you. Getting to know yourself is the best thing that you can do. Why? Because you will never be, once you know who you are, there will be never a disconnect. Because you are so connected to who you are. No, it doesn't matter if no one ever cheers for you, if no one ever says you're good or bad or whatever the case may be. The point is that if you know who you are and you have given that fact of there's no more guessing or wishing or hoping to find out who you are, it's empowering. Because just like people may not understand why Greg and I have went down this road of empowering marriages is something that we know that we have to do. It's something that we know we were called to do. And we know that we know that we know that this was our purpose in life, to impact men and women on the earth and to find their purpose in their marriage and to say that they can save their marriage, they can help their marriage, they can grow their marriage, and finding their individual with helping themselves first. Because like Greg said, how is he going to love me if he doesn't love himself? So knowing thyself first is imperative for any relationship to work. And that's even with your own family members, even with a business relationship. If you do not learn how you operate, anybody can unravel you. That means that if you do not stand firm in your convictions, if you do not stand firm in what you believe in, you ever saw like a thread on like a blanket that may have a hanging thread? If you pull that thread, you likely to pull the whole thing off. And if you keep pulling and keep pulling and keep pulling, however, if those the thread, if you mend that thread and knot it and knot it and knot it and it's not going to come out, the thing is you get to understand and know the fabric of who you are. Knowing the fabric of who you are will open up and create some experience. Do you be able to experience life? Like Greg was saying, maybe it's for you to go and help humanity in another country. Maybe it's for you, and if your gifts and anybody's gifts, everyone's gifts is there to create for another. If you are there to give your pour your gifts to the universe, to bless others around you, then you know you have found something. Greg and I do not do this. We can get up every day and we'll teach and talk and talk and talk about this subject. And we don't get tired of it because this is something that we know the process of what we were called to do. And it's a time and a place where, and it doesn't come overnight, but getting to exactly know who you are is a process because we are always an evolving person. And like we were just saying, you don't know who you are yesterday. If you didn't know who you were, you are not the same person of yesterday or yesteryear. So encouraging you to now understand who you were as a child. When you was a child, you spoke as a child. When you're an adult, you speak as an adult. And when you start getting more and more knowledge, you start to understand that your brain cannot, once your brain contracts, it does not go back to its original size. Therefore, you ask, how do I get to start knowing myself? You first is, you have to be comfortable with being alone with yourself. I know there was a time when I learned a lot of people do not like to be alone.
Mm.
You don't like to be alone? And the thing, I was asked the question, why don't you like being alone? You don't know yourself? You don't like yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of point is that alone time, you get to understand not only yourself, and I'm not saying not to go and network with people and connect with people. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there's a time and a place that you should be alone, that you'll be able, like Greg said, he meditates. And I pray and I worship. And the thing is that you have to know what is good for you to be alone in order for your mind to be still and so you can really gather your thoughts. Because if you're not one with yourself, and I always tell my kids and people that there's three things you need to have control over, and it's your emotional body, it's your intellectual body, and your spiritual body, because that's connecting to what you're going to physically do to make wise decisions. If your mind is cluttered and your mind is always racing and going, there's other people always around you, when do you have still time to process and to create. And that's a lot of times when you dream, and your dreams, they come in a state of when you are sleeping. And the times to make those dreams a reality is the time when you're awake. So the time that you're sleeping and dreaming and things of that nature, when do you have time to be by yourself and write down your goals and start talking to yourself and having them come to fruition? Because those things that you do alone, with alone time, being happy with yourself. Why can't you go out to the movies and you could never go to the movies by yourself? My husband went to the movies the other day by himself, and he was just happy as a lark. And I was in here watching a movie by myself, and I was happy. But when we come together, we're happy when we come back together because we're happy within ourselves. If you can't be happy by yourself, you can't be happy with people. So you have to be learning to be comfortable with yourself, learning to love yourself, learning to know who you are, learning to understand that you need to forgive yourself for the things that you may not feel that's right about you. Learn to love the dips and of your body, the bumps and the rolls that come on it's on your body. The point is, if you don't like it, change it. Like Greg said, he changed his diet, and he lost some pounds. If you don't like something about yourself, oh, I'm big-boned. No, that's an excuse. It's not about that. I was heavy and overweight, and I did something about it. You have to do something about something. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to change overnight. Just because you're tired, you'll always be tired. Oh, this word, I'm sick and tired. You should never say I'm sick and tired because you'll always be sick and tired. Be careful what you say, who you are, and what you are, because you're attaching it to yourself. If you want people around you that is going to be positive and uplifting, then you be that positive, uplifting person. If you want some people around you that's going to be a go-getter, then you be a go-getter. You show them. You be that role model. And the only person that you're, like you said, look in the mirror, because that's the only person that you're fighting against. Right.
Excellent thought. And I mean, I tell people all the time, you know, the meat that you receive here, the sustenance that we know we are sharing, is not what I'm thinking or hoping that we're sharing. The sustenance that I know that we are sharing, even if it doesn't manifest itself and be helpful at this particular moment, it will in its due season. And that allows me to flow to one of the next points that I would like to share and expound upon is anyone can be positive when things are going right. It's when things are at their lowest that our determination and integrity are tested. Know what's so interesting? And it goes back to like how Cheryl just shared and even the last part that I added before that. People can sit and allow yourself to see certain things that occur when everything is just, you know, everything is flowing in your direction and everything is so happy and this is occurring and that is occurring and all these things that are just happy, 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 joy, 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 joy. But it actually doesn't work that way. It actually is not part of the experience, because what's the true testament of your resurrecting power or the resurrection power that does exist in each one of us, is that what happens when things are not going exactly the way you wish them to go? What happens when you're a little bit low on funds? What do you call it? How do you see when you want to go to a particular place and you may not have the ability to do so? But see, this comes into a mantra of your mindset and how you actually intra-communicate with yourself. Because it's interesting. I used to say this all the time, and some of my associates would look at me like I was crazy. I said, you know, I got $5 in my wallet. And people would look at me and say, you only got $5 in your wallet? Yeah, I only got a $5 bill in my wallet. And they look at me, God, man, you only got $5? I said, yeah, but my mortgage is paid. All my bills are paid, all my responsibilities are paid. And you know what? until it's time for me to add some more bills into my wallet, I've been prepared enough to say, you know what, instead of me going out to lunch with you guys, I'll just bring my lunch with me to work because my wife prepared me a good lunch. Then all of a sudden, slowly they started getting it. Slowly they started understanding what I was meaning when I would say, you know, you only got $10 in my pocket, or I only got $20 in my pocket, or only got $50 on me, and this, that, and third. But I'm talking about cash. See, there's a thing that you have to understand, that what your experiences are is not necessarily based on finances, of what you tangibly have, what I can pull out a knot. That knot doesn't mean anything. Knots don't mean anything if your life is not fulfilled. If you're not truly having a forgiving spirit, if you're truly not orchestrating yourself in a healthy manner that you're, as my wife stated, you know, we both have made progress in taking care of our temples. Are we 100% there yet? Nowhere near. But see, that's part of the journey. That's part of the understanding of saying, you know what, I'm progressively getting better, and I see better for myself. When my wife was going through her metamorphosis and things that she wanted to take care of to make herself healthy, she could not do that for me. The same way that when I talk about all the changes I've made and lifestyle changes and understanding myself, my body, my mindset, and letting everything start to get closer and closer to work in concert with each other, I couldn't do that for her. And see, that's when people would sometimes assume, like, oh, that sounds kind of, you know, narcissistic that you sit there and say, you know, you have to love yourself. No, it's not narcissism. It's not narcissism. You better have some love for yourself. You better have that resurrection power that's inside of you that keeps resurrecting the fact every single day that, you know, I'm going to love Greg. I'm going to love me, because by loving me, I know I can project love. I know I can share love. I know love is not just something that's just stuck in a particular place and I just, you know, give it out haphazardly, you know, when it's just to my benefit. See, when you love yourself and you're truly experiencing, you're truly allowing yourself to really push out that thought, even when things are at their lowest, you start to see that, you know, there's certain things that can't break me. And it's not about breaking you, it's about seeing what you're going to call it. You see, one person can say, oh, he only has $5 in his pocket. Oh, he ain't got nothing. And someone who has some true wisdom would be like, wait a minute. Okay, why does he have $5 in his pocket? Let me ask the further question. Oh, wait a minute. His credit level's this. All his responsibilities paid. No one's chasing him for something, for this, that, or there. He hasn't thwarted on his responsibilities and everything else has been managed and taken care of. So there's a difference. That's why be mindful when you hear people are successful and they want to pull out money or just show, you know, they have this and have that. Because believe you me, it's not about at the high points. The life that we are all experiencing is not about just the high points. It's not about proving, okay, how much I have and keep trudging along, trudging along, trudging along, and just to prove how many zeros are in the account. Because zeros are good if you're actually using them for something bigger than yourself. But if they're just for yourself, they're just empty. Because that means if we take those zeros away, we kind of show who and what you're really beholding. But remember, you can always be positive when things are going up. But the true test of your positivity is when things are going down. And how are you really going to use that ability to forgive yourself if, you know, it could have been a mistake that you made or a misstep that you may have done? But those missteps are actually learning experiences. There are things for you to absorb and absorb and be like, you know what, I went down a particular road and I learned from that. And it may have been a non-expensive lesson or it may have been an expensive lesson, but it was a lesson nonetheless. And if I truly look at it from a lesson standpoint, there's a lower probability of me going down that same road. And that's why when you hear individuals saying, well, you know, I'm still stuck in that relationship. He's hitting me or she's being abusive towards me. So wait a minute. You're on the merry-go-round that you want to be on. you're on this carousel that's spinning around in a circle. It's just stationary. It's just going around in the same circle. When are you going to say, you know what, I'm about to get off this ride. I love me. I respect you, but I love me. I got to get off this ride. But you're still on the carousel. You're still on the merry-go-round. You're going around and around and around and around and around and complaining about why you're still going around and around and around. That makes it even worse because you're acknowledging the fact that you're navigating in the same circumference, but you're not doing anything to change it, to change you. Because once you change you, then you can change it. You can't change it before you change you. So that's, as we deal with forgiveness and resurrection, you have to understand the resurrection power that resides in each one of us. It's about resurrecting yourself. Not just keep looking backwards with your neck just, you know, stuck on a 180 degree angle trying to do going towards 270, which, you know, you're pretty much trying to break your own neck to keep looking backwards while you're trying to walk straight, while the rest of your body is moving in one direction. That's craziness. You can't look backwards in order to go forward. But you can take the experiences of your past to be a firm foundation, a firm structure for you to stand upon, so you understand that even though things can be so great and positive, and I can be, you know, high on the hog, but I understand that if I do go through those moments where a testing or an experience is happening, I'm readily ready for it. And by doing so, you're not shocked and awed by the situations that occur around you. So remember, being positive means to be positive in all aspects, high, low, and indifferent. And by doing so, not only that you're showing that you have the ability to forgive, but you also show that you have the ability to have a resiliency that no one can break. Cheryl?
Well, I wanted to say when Greg was talking about, you know, having $5 in his pocket, and there's a difference between having money and having the mindset of wealth.
Mm.
And the thing is that we both operate we were taught the mindset of having wealth, the consciousness of being wealthy. And if you are a wealthy is abundance of not to be confused of how much money is in your pocket. And why I say that is because the money that we make, going back to what Greg said, with the money, about to be confused with money and wealth, is that to point out it's not about how much money you make. It's the people that have so much money and they're not even enjoying their family. They're not even enjoying the abundance of what the money has brought to them. And wealth is a mindset of being able to, a man is richly blessed when he is able to now give. He is able to enjoy his family. He is able to enjoy the richness of life. And he is able to pour into others and in relationships around them. You have to look at the whole person. And I think that's what you were trying to say, right, Greg? It's just,
yes.
It's just not...
not about the money.
Not about the money. Now, money can get you to what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but having it's a tool to what you need to do, but the abundance lifestyle that you, a wealthy man has, or a wealthy woman or man has, is not about the tools that they, how much tools they have. And why I say that is because when we were only making $10,000 a year or $30,000 a year, and going from making six figures a year, it's a difference between that mindset that we were back then. But the difference is that, I won't say, the difference is that from Greg having $5 in his pocket, he had the mindset of being a wealthy man. Because he was able to say, now, I'm able to enjoy my house. I'm able to enjoy my family. I'm able to save up for the day that when now a couple of years down the road, when you are making six figures, we can now get up and say, let's go to Mexico. And it wasn't even planned. We was able to say, let's do that. When we went away this past week, last month, it was a spur of the moment. Now, if you could have said 10 or 12 or maybe 15 years ago, we was not in a position to do that. Because when you are an entrepreneur and when you are creating, there's certain things that you're going to have to do because you're going to have to get out of debt. Because we were in debt. You're going to have to now, how do you navigate life and navigate the tools, meaning monies? How do you navigate the tools to make it work for you? And you not being a slave to it.
Mm.
So a wealthy man or wealthy woman is not a slave to money. It is working for us. Right now we're on this call and money is working for us.
That's right.
We have people instead, and it's working for us. We're still doing what we need, and we're doing what we love right now, and plus the fact we have a business going on, and it's working for us. That is being wealth. That is a mindset of being wealthy, doing what you love. We love to be together, doing things together, and also making a way that we could say, let's go to the Caribbean with the entire family, and we are a family of eight. And if you bring my mother, it's a family of nine. And we pay for everything. And that's the point of you understanding what is abundant life to you. A wealthy man or a man that just chases money. It's something, two different things that needs to be differentiated. And if you want success to happen, you need to start asking yourself, what is it about you that you need to chase money, if that is you?
Mm.
Because with having a life of that's another thing of disaccepting who you are. And if you're committed spiritually and emotionally and intellectually to work on yourself and to have the to unfold the evolution of who you're supposed to be and purpose in life, believe me, the factors of money will not even be an issue. Because right now you're walking in purpose, and it's called self-realization, self-actualization.
Mm.
You're doing something that is the process. When you realize who self is, you will then have you will actualize those things. You will begin to have a spiritual life. You will begin to have a life of worth living, because all three of your bodies are now connected, and now you're able to understand that you are there, and you'll be able to live an abundant life that you dream of, and impacting lives around you. But it's time for you to start looking in that mirror and coming to terms of who you are, finding who you are, what is your purpose, what is your passion. Greg and I both find a passion where it lies for us to empower and to motivate couples, to motivate other couples to work together, to do a business, and also to develop something that you guys can do, go greater for generations to come. Because once a couple gets on board and align themselves up, the family has no choice but to line up. It's just a domino effect. And we believe that once you strengthen the family and have a development of what you need to do spiritually and what you need to do emotionally and what you need to do intellectually, then it will all come together, because then you sort of have a control over what your actions will be in the universe. And it's just not about you chasing the dollar. And it's just not about you having more than $5 in your pocket, because that will come if you get the mindset of being wealthy. And wealthy is a mindset of what are you doing with your passion, What are you fulfilling? What is what? Who? What dreams are you fulfilling in others? Because if we start thinking about what we're not getting, and we start thinking about being wealthy is all about what you give to others, because it will attract to you. Wealth will attract to you, and you will have life fulfillment. Life fulfillment will come if you understand that you are destined to be wealthy and prosper. And if you find yourself in debt right now, if you find yourself that you can't, you're just making it, let me tell you, we were there. You can accomplish what you need to accomplish and become more successful in life if that is what you choose. Or you could stay where you are. But it's a mind, body, and soul connecting with one and going forth with each other in one and as one. Greg?
Oh, definitely. I mean, as my wife said, she kind of put the bow on it. You know, we only have a couple of minutes left. And it's so interesting that, you know, when people attach themselves towards a tool, and that's why when they said that the love of money is the root of all evil, not the acquisition of it, not the working hard in your passion to do what you need to do to accumulate more of it, but once even in your passion, if your passion is about just making money, then you are a slave to money. Because that means if we take the money away, we can see that we can destroy you. But when you're not even a slave to your passion, but your passion is inertly one within you, and through the process of doing your passion, you start to become blessed and things are added unto you, then we understand, and you can, as my wife just said, then you get to the point now that it's not running around to prove how many dollars you have, but now you know your dollars are technically working for you instead of you striving and running after it.
Yeah, and I just want to say the last thing. Your true wealth is going to come from your creativity, because your uniqueness is how you're going to make your own wealth. Because it's not about, I'm not talking, I'm not saying not to forget all about money, because we need financial security. It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important for freedom to happen and some things to, you know, for us to be able to get up and go. However, you need to start tapping in to what your creative spark is, because money is not wealth. Wealth is a true sense of success. And what your success is, tapping into your creativity. What is something that you need to do to give back? What is it that you are looking for? Start writing down your goals in life. Connect with us. If you want to connect with us, like Greg said, you can inbox us at Greg and Cheryl Facebook, Gregory and Cheryl Facebook page. We're there. You can ask us any questions. We're going to be now starting our one-on-one coaching with couples and individuals. So if you decide that you have an open mind, that you want to do this, and you want to find who you are, and you need help on that path, you can connect with us at our Facebook page and inbox us there, or you can email us, Greg, at our email.
Well, definitely you can email Greg at Greg@CherylClark.com. You can email us that you can email me, or if you email Cheryl, it's the same thing, Cheryl@GregandCherylClark.com. So if you email us, we will definitely respond to your emails. And as Cheryl stated, you know, we're at the point now that we're preparing others while and assist and to help others towards their own enlightenment. So until the next time that we're here to share with you here on the Couples TV Show, this is Gregory Clark.
And Cheryl Clark.
And we love the fact for those who take the time and the opportunity to invest in themselves by spending time growing and expanding your education, not only in books, but in other aspects as well. And always, we always wish for you to breathe life and love daily, because by doing those things, you have the opportunity to continue the love of resurrection power that already resides within you. So until the next time that we continue this thought, or maybe a new thought, but we kind of like where this thought is going. This is Greg and Cheryl. saying see you until we see you, and peace in the Middle East. God bless.